This morning is the second of our series on prayer within the Core Values series, which will be running over the next few weeks. Please listen in if you missed the first one last week. It's important that we stay with it and what God is saying to us as a church in this crucial series as we seek to put our roots down as a church and, more importantly, as individuals in our walk with Him. And I'm excited at what God can do with this series, and I'm praying for a fresh movement of God's Spirit amongst us. I was looking really for things for rejoicing over this last week, and it's been quite amazing the things that are able to speak into our message this morning as we consider this thought of rejoicing in prayer. And what does rejoice mean? A dictionary definition says it's showing great delight. It's something that others can see. And I was in Tesco on Friday night with May. She was helping me doing the shopping and loading it up in the wee hatch, which I found it lifted, putting it all inside. And this old lady came up to me and said, "I just want to say that watching you two has brought me great joy." I thought, wow, that's kind of a bit random, out of the blue. But what causes people to rejoice? Last week, for those of you who weren't here, I told you about finding a missing car key worth £300, and I was rejoicing. And in our home every day, I have to say there is real rejoicing when May walks into the room as we watch her growing and interacting with the world around her. It could be an amazing sunset or a song that stops you in your tracks. It could be a birthday. It's Alison Henderson's birthday. If you see her when she comes in, you can wish her happy birthday today. Maybe it's when you receive a meaningful gift. A few joyful things from people in the church. And this last week, someone in church was given the gift of a holiday recently and will just be back this morning. What a lovely surprise. Or unexpected surprise, I don't know. Emily Haxton was rejoicing, as we heard, as finally Cammy proposed this week. And I'm sure she was rejoicing that he was rejoicing that she said yes and that Colin had given his approval. There's not been any strange looks across from Colin. That's been good to Cammy at the back. Fiona Hare recently had another little baby boy a few weeks back who's with us, and the family rejoiced in that. We had baptisms a couple of weeks ago. Again, a great time of rejoicing. And someone who came to faith in church in the last week, so was rejoicing here and in heaven. This week, John got word to say that his body is cancer-free. So how amazing is that? And what a joy that brings. John described that for joy that meant seeing Anne walking about with tears in her eyes and a big grin on her face this week. Great news. But where do you find your joy? And yes, we can find joy in things and in circumstances and in others, and that is good. But ultimately, it is a passing joy. And there's a common factor in all these joyful things that I've mentioned. They all come from something happy in life, from circumstances and from feelings. And there's certainly a value in all these good things, because for the believer, rejoicing in life is to be more fully enjoyed because we can give thanks to the giver of these good gifts who sends them down to us. So, for example, there's thanksgiving for God's provision of that holiday, for God's leading to a loving fiancé, to God who inspires beautiful music and creates the colours of a stunning sunset. An atheist in the village said to me one night as we looked at a cracking sunset, he says, "That is so beautiful." He says, "But I guess you've got someone you can give thanks to for putting it there that I don't." And so John is able to give praise and thanks to God as we rejoice with them in their good news. Before we consider rejoicing in prayer, we must start with our understanding of who God is. What do you think God is like in your mind? I read this morning in the thought for the day, it says, even if certain of his existence, we sometimes question his character. Is he good? Is he trustworthy? Can he really help? Does he love me? And maybe your view of God is influenced by your own father in good or bad ways. Many have a negative view of God, and we need to have a right view of who God is and what he is like. And I would like to suggest one of the most helpful pictures we can have for God when we come to prayer is this, the prodigal's father, a loving father. We come to a loving father like the father in the prodigal son story who welcomed the son back. As one person put it, whenever we come, wherever we've been, and whatever we've done. Whenever, wherever, whatever. It's an all-encompassing welcome into the arms of our loving Father. And God loves to rejoice. What a great picture to have of God. And even more amazingly, he rejoices over you. Perhaps hard to imagine at times when you look at your own life, but it's true. And that's a great place to start when we consider rejoicing in prayer. We are not coming to a judging or angry or displeased God who wants to tell us just how miserable we are. You see, I believe God is more often than not more interested in doing a foundational work in us than for specifics. In the thought for the day this week, the writer quoted, "We might ask God, where should I go?" And he replies, "I love you." The first verse for the sermon this morning is a cracker. I knew parts of it, but I can't remember reading the whole verse because it's kind of squirreled away in an obscure book in the Old Testament, Zephaniah, which is one of these ones that sounds like a made-up Old Testament book name, but it is real, I assure you, Zephaniah 3 and 17. And it says these beautiful words, words which can be life-transforming for us this morning. And it says this, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Let's take a moment just to read that again ourselves and give personal thought to these words and what God is saying to you this morning through them. And if this is all you go away with this morning, that will be worthwhile as we consider God and his love for us as individuals. Let's say it together. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Joy is at the heart of rejoicing. Very few of us would think, "Oh, I really don't want to have anything to rejoice about. I don't like to rejoice." What do you have to be thankful to God for? Are you a thankful person? How can we learn to become more thankful? And why would that be a good thing? Can you be thankful when circumstances are against you, when you don't feel joyful? This morning we're going to consider a deeper joy that we can find in life, which only God can give us. An amazing gift that we can so easily forget or take for granted. Because there is a far greater rejoicing we can know, that we can experience independently of how we feel, that transcends life's circumstances. In fact, we can rejoice in prayer when there is no earthly reason for rejoicing. (clears throat) 1,246 days today after her husband had a massive heart attack and brain damage. This is what Anna Bartholomew from church has to say to us about rejoicing in prayer in her life 1,246 days later. Thank you.
Have you ever found yourself shouting at Father God? I was doing that shortly before I received the text from Colin asking me to record 2 minutes for you for the church service today. The first time I shouted at God was when our beloved son as a teenager was taking us through a very, 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 very grievous time, age 13. And in the middle of it, I thought, what am I doing? I felt so audacious. And I suddenly had this picture of me pummeling as if it were Father God's chest, shouting at him, crying out to him. And I saw his arms wrapped right around me. And I heard him say, it's all right, Anna. I can take all your anger, all your fear, all your anxiety about the future, all your grief, all your weariness. You're safe with me. Be real. So that, dear ones, is why in the midst of this ongoing, very severe trial with Ian, severely brain injured and me at his bedside most days, that's why I can rejoice in prayer, because I know that whatever happens, Father God says I can take it, and his arms are around us. He gave that promise to Ian shortly before he collapsed. He sent me a text a few days before he collapsed saying he was thrilled at that promise. Underneath are the everlasting arms. I can rejoice in prayer because I can repeat all the promises of God in his word, and I sing them to Ian, and some of you have heard us singing them. I can rejoice in prayer because of his immense grace, and my Ian loves to hear me talk of his grace and joins in and says grace and thank you.
It's a powerful testimony that Anna has, and that expression of rejoicing in prayer comes out in life. And she sent me a little clip yesterday. I have asked her permission to show it. It's a little bit different, but it's very moving, and it just shows you something of the joy that Anna still has. Just going to watch a little short clip of this. Thank you. That's okay. Amazing to see, and I told her she's got some moves, and she was very happy about that because she didn't realize that she could do that. Scripture gives us plenty of examples of rejoicing in the Old and the New Testament. When David is surrounded by his enemies, when he knows he stands guilty before God as a liar, an adulterer, a murderer, when he feels like everything is against him, when he feels God isn't there, he finds he can still rejoice in God. And he says in Psalm 103, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David, by an act of his will, turns his eyes to God. And this provides a completely different perspective on everything. He has a worshipful and thankful spirit. Paul too writes about rejoicing, and he writes from real experience. In Philippians, he mentions joy and rejoicing in the Christian life 16 times. And he is writing from a prison cell in Rome, chained to a guard, having spent the previous 3 years in prison elsewhere. And Paul can say truthfully that he can rejoice in suffering. Think back to when Paul and Silas were in prison together in Acts 16. It says the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. Terrifying. The magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Agony for them. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison. The jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cells and fastened their feet in the stocks. So here they were, just being attacked by a crowd, wrongfully arrested, severely beaten, thrown into a grim prison cell and put in stocks under guard. If it was you, what would you do next? This is so unfair. Why me? Where are you, God? Why have you let this happen? Are humanly speaking valid questions that I would probably say, but not Paul and Silas. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They were able to rejoice in their suffering because they knew it was all for the glory of God. I would perhaps be praising and singing praises to God after the earthquake and the prison doors flew open, the reminder of God's greatness, such evidence of his power, but I'm not sure I would be in that place before it when I'm sitting in agony, feeling rejected and helpless. How were they able to do this? Every difficult circumstance presents us with two main possible responses. Will we see it from our own perspective, or will we lift our eyes to God? Will it be worry, or will it be worship? Paul says in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4 from verse 4, I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And what a rich passage that is. We're encouraged to start by rejoicing, not in what we have, but in who he is. We come to adore him, as we've sung already, to praise him for who he is, the one who loves us. And this centers our prayer on God and not on ourselves and what we want. He moves on to recognition that we are made anxious about many things, but instead we are not to allow that to be our response. Why? Because anxiety and frustration or being upset never helps a situation and ultimately is evidence of a need for faith. It can make us ill and bring out the worst in us. Anxiety is rife in our society, and here we find the antidote to it. I often feel when I have a wrong response that it was caused by the situation. That's not true, because I have chosen or allowed myself to respond purely in my human nature instead of looking to God. A simple example. So I drive out onto the main street, oblivious of what lies ahead. I didn't even know this morning until I started down more roadworks on the main street this morning, popped up from somewhere. And so often we come out to be here at a certain time and the road is queued right up to the roundabout. So I sit there frustrated and annoyed. What a hassle, this is so annoying, it drives me nuts, I'm going to be late. And this helps me exactly how. I think I feel rightly annoyed at best, but it's not going to put me in the best frame of mind for the journey or even still by the time I get there. But there is an alternative. I can't do anything about it. So use the time to pray, to give God thanks for who he is. The traffic has not changed God. The good things that he's given me, I've got so much to be thankful for. And what difference does that make? I've consciously made the decision to lift my eyes away from those circumstances and onto God. And I'm now grateful and thankful, though I may still be late. That's not actually the end of the world. But we can apply that same simple principle to the most serious hardships of life, and the outcome is the same. When we are struggling with ill health or loss or a job loss, if we bring it to God, he will give us a peace that passes understanding. He's not uncaring and removed. He enters into our suffering and brings his peace and power. I remember visiting a godly man who was dying, and I'll never forget about how at peace he was and how he was just focused on others, on me and on God. And I was the one that was blessed by my visit. So we can apply that same principle in every area of our life. For many of us, life is hard. Maybe you're stuck in a job you don't like. Maybe it doesn't pay enough to cover your bills. Maybe you're in a difficult marriage, or your kids are driving you to despair. Maybe you're trying to follow Jesus, but the people around you give you a hard time for it. Or maybe you're struggling with a serious health problem. In the midst of these realities, experiencing constant, deep, and long-lasting joy can seem unattainable. Do you want to have that joy that God offers in your life? I have to say that to me, many Christians live in the doldrums, worn down by life and work, with little seemingly to rejoice about. Most Christians struggle to pray when it's a basic need that we have. Most Christians don't see the value in meeting together with others to pray. But we cannot live for God if we don't pray. And so often we miss out because we don't lift our eyes. How can we experience that joy, and what difference will it make in our daily life and walk with God? We need a different mindset. We need an act of the will. Glenn messaged me out of the blue this week a very unusual text. And this is what he said. I've had a fair bit of dental work over the last 12 months. And whilst I've been going through the pain of injections, root canal treatment and fillings, I have, for some reason, got into the habit of praying for you and Clive and your wider family. It's given me a helpful outward focus through the pain. Hashtag healthy dental habits. But it's a very graphic version of an act of turning away from ourselves and our pain and turning to God in prayer. One ancient worshipper said, as often as I could, I placed myself as a worshipper before him, fixing my mind upon his holy presence, recalling it when I found it wandering from him. This proved to be an exercise frequently painful, yet I persisted through all difficulties. It's important that we do this together as well as God's people. I never noticed that the Lord's Prayer is there for praying together, primarily in a worshipping community. It's not my Father, it's our Father. And there's a deep meaningfulness when God's people come together to pray. In a special way, he says, where two or three are gathered together, in my name, I am there in the midst. Rejoicing in prayer. Someone from church told me this week she's learned that joy is not dependent for her on circumstances, but on her relationship with her Father. And that even when we're upset, we can have complete assurance that God is still in charge of our situations. Nehemiah writes, says that the people stood and together said, "Blessed be your glorious name. May it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. You are the Lord God," words brought forward from the Psalms. "You are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love." I want us to take a few short moments to think about or to write down something that we are thankful for. I've got some little post-it notes here and some pens that perhaps you can look back on your life, or it could be something right now that you want to give God thanks for. And if you would like to stick it on the board so that I can read it out to bless others, to make this a place of thanksgiving and rejoicing this morning. So let's just take a short time of quiet. We've got some post-it notes. The stewards will bring these. If you would like one, just indicate. They'll pass them along.
you will be up here, you can come and have a look at the end. But just to pick out a few here, just randomly. Answered prayer again and again. I'm grateful that God never gives up on us, even if we sometimes give up on him. Thankful for an awesome church family who uphold me in prayer during my illness. Awesomely answered by God. Give thanks for my daughter for her making me less selfish. Your grace does not run dry. The promise of eternity in heaven. Thank you for saving our daughter, Hannah. I give thanks to God for being there in the darkness and giving hope where there is doubt and there's more.
Thank you for that. Prayer is hard, so why should we persevere? Regular disciplined prayer can seem like a duty to us, and there's a real aversion to us sometimes about duty as if it's a bad thing. Well, John Piper said, I was reading this week, it's a duty, but it's a duty like when we need to sleep at night, or when a diver is checking and putting on his equipment. The way hungry people eat food, thirsty people drink water, diabetics take insulin. If we don't eat, we'll die. If we don't drink, we'll die. If we're not rightly equipped for diving, we'll die. And we'll die spiritually if we don't pray. And 1 Thessalonians, as we finish, sums it up succinctly. Just 16 words. just two words. Rejoice always. That's the whole verse. Who couldn't learn that one? Rejoice always. Paul is writing to people who are being persecuted, and he can relate and talk from real experience. It's not good advice or theory, but truth. And so to us, the message comes, whatever our circumstances, let's be thankful people. Verse 17 has got two words also. Easy to remember. Pray continually. Practicing the presence of God was the title of a famous book when I was young. And it's a habit we can develop to become God-focused in all we do, recognizing our need of him. And the last command is this, give thanks in all circumstances. And we thought a bit about it this morning. It may mean trusting and thanking God that he will work out his ways in us through the trial when it's tough, just to acknowledge his sovereignty. And we can only do that when we look at things from God's perspective. It may be that we actually forget to give him thanks in the happy times, just accepting them at face value and neglecting the one from whom all good gifts come. If I came to you this morning and said, I want to tell you what God's will is for your life, and it's 100% guaranteed correct, I'm pretty sure you would want to hear it. I can tell you what God's will is for your life right now. And here it is, these three things that we've just prayed, that we've just read. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks. We can all remember that, because the short section ends with the words, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you. If we do these three things, we will find that everything else takes care of itself as we trust him and we walk in his ways. It can be hard to accept that God will work these things together when there's no evidence of that good taking place. And I read this challenging quote this week from the SU Notes. Often when we find our will in conflict with God's, it's because deep down we don't really trust that he is good and faithful. Ask God to reveal his character to you more and more each day. And I trust that God will have spoken to you this morning. Perhaps your faith has been dented or feels almost non-existent. Is there a little rejoicing going on in your life? My prayer is that you'll have a right view of who God is, because it's only then that you see the real need of prayer each day and experience the difference that prayer will make in your life. I think it'll be transformative for us all and as a church, and God will be glorified. So rejoice always, pray at all times, and give thanks in all circumstances, and so you will obey and know the will of God for your life. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are a loving and a good God. a sovereign God who we can trust in every circumstance, a God who sends good gifts down from above for each one of us. Thank you that even in the tough times you are there because you give us peace that passes understanding. Thank you for the witness and testimony of those that we've thought about and seen this morning. Pray you'd help us to be thankful people, to lift our eyes from the troubles that we face, the circumstances we find ourselves in, to see you and your love, to know that you bless us and that we would glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.